We're starting a new series today. It's going to be a short one. We're going to dive into some pretty deep waters today, though. And today we're going to be in Isaiah 28. Next week we're going to be in 1 Peter. But if we can go to this little picture of a bench, this first slide. I don't know how many of you have had this experience where you're tired, you're needing to sleep, and the only option you have is some sort of bench. And I've had this experience where you're ready to sleep, and then you get on that bench and you realize, and you know, I'm 5'10", but I realize like that bench is not 5'10", right? Like, and it's, you're cramped in some sort of way, whether it's got armrests on it or whatever, you're way hanging off. And if you sleep and like, you know, the bottom quarter of your leg or whatever is hanging off, if you actually go to sleep, you wake up and your knees don't feel like they felt when you went to sleep, right? Like you needed rest, but trying to meet the needs that you had, now you got more problems than you started with. And my guess is whether you've slept on benches or not, you've had that experience of like, I know I need some rest, but then when I do my best to get the rest that I need or the whatever it is that I'm needing, I wind up with more problems than I started the day with. And some of us have that experience a lot, and we just keep doing the same stuff we've been doing. And your knees aren't going to work at some point, right? If you just keep doing the same junk you've been doing, and you keep kind of finding that you got more and more problems coming up, it's not a good way to go. And I'm going to intro, before we get to this passage, something that sometimes we keep doing what we've been doing, partly because we get so hung up on being offended that we're not ready to learn anything new. Sometimes we get hung up on being offended that we can't learn something new. So I want to give you an example from C.S. Lewis. It's a book, a great little book, a kid's book actually, called The Horse and His Boy. But there's a chapter in it that opens with something that's offensive enough to some people that they wouldn't stick through the chapter, right? So there's a male and female character that gets stuck in this desert. And C.S. Lewis, in this kid's story, he's talking about the male character being way stronger and more physically capable than the female character. And I could see some people reading that, a feminist or somebody reading that, and just being ready to put the book down, right? Just being offended at that statement. And because of that offense, like not reading the rest of the chapter, and what C.S. Lewis is trying to get at in this chapter isn't some statement about athletic ability, but he needs to get that across about those two characters, not to offend somebody, but because later on in the chapter, they're trying to cross this desert, and the guy in the story who is way more physically capable doesn't have the inner strength that this particular lady has. And so the lady winds up being the one that has to drive them to actually make it across this desert. Now, I don't think he's trying to give us universal truths about women and men. I think to set up his second point, that inner strength isn't always visible on the outside, it doesn't always involve your biceps or something. To make that point, he needs the one who's weaker on the inside to be the physically stronger one. To make the point. Like if he was already... If the big strong one is able to cross the desert, it's like, well, okay, because he's big and strong, right? Like to make his point, he needed to have a big strong one fail. But if you come at it offended, you're not ready for the real point. You're not ready to learn something new. It actually has nothing to do with feminism or whatever else, right? It has something to do about what you look like on the outside isn't necessarily what's true about how strong you really are. That's an important piece of wisdom. Now, why do I bring that up? Some of us are stuck, and the way we've been living is like sleeping on that park bench. But we're not open to learning anything new because it's easy to get offended. And maybe you're offended that somebody is trying to teach you. Maybe you're offended. I don't know what your deal is, right? But you could check with yourself right now. Am I really open that I've been doing it wrong and that I need to change? Because if you're not open to that, like good luck growing, right? Like good luck learning if you're not open that maybe you haven't done at all or know at all. So having said that, I think we got the primer. We're ready for our passage. Now I'm going to put the passage up on the screen like the reference. It's Isaiah 28. Now, Isaiah 28 has a lot going on, and I struggled to write this sermon this week because there's so much going on in the whole chapter. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a crash course through some Jake Taylor highlights on this chapter. You can read the whole chapter for yourself. I felt like we didn't have time to read it today during the sermon. Here's some stuff going on in that chapter. There's a northern kingdom, people that should have been following God, but their leaders are so self-indulgent and stuck on solving the problems for themselves that God can't teach them. I'm sure that's none of us, right? That we're self-indulgent and we're going to fix problems ourselves and think that we don't need God's help. Now, maybe your mind went to like, I hope this other person heard it, or I wish this guy was at Maywood today, right? Because that's actually who Isaiah's talking to. Isaiah's talking to people in the southern kingdom, but he opens with those northern leaders have been so bad, and it's going to go bad for them. But then he turns it to like, by the way, we're in the same boat. So especially if you were already judging somebody else, like Isaiah would probably just turn it to you. Like, by the way, you're probably struggling with the same pride issue yourself. It bugs you that someone else is prideful. It's a good indicator that I and us are struggling with pride, right? He also talks about, oh man, there's a bunch there. I'm trying to pick what to tell you guys about. So he says that for them, religion that started out like with milk and just getting started, that they didn't really want to go on to maturity. And so for them, the message about God had boiled down to rule on rule, just a bunch of rules and a bunch of like, do this, do this, do this, do this. If you know the story about Jesus and the Pharisees, by the time Jesus shows up, there's a bunch of religious people that have a whole lot of rules. And it's kind of sad to read in Isaiah, God saying you've been so self-indulgent and so trying to fix your problems yourself that you're going to turn my word into just a bunch of rules. To see like God gave you like the whole like, this is the problem, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ahead of people still living that out. And people still have that today, right? Some people think Christianity and the Bible just boils down to a bunch of don't do's. And if you've been in that spot, like you've missed the point. It's not that obedience doesn't matter, but if it's become just about don't, then you've missed it. And there's not going to be power to solve your problems. And that bench idea I got, if you like that bench idea, Jake's not very smart, I actually got that from Isaiah. He talks to them about, like, you guys have been laying down on beds or benches that are too short, or you've had blankets that aren't enough to wrap around you. I don't know if you've ever been stuck without a towel, and then you try to use a hand towel. That's what he's describing. Like, your solutions are like trying to dry yourself off with a hand towel. Like, it just looks ridiculous, and you're not going to succeed, right? The way that you've been trying to solve your needs without doing it Jesus's way, it's like trying to dry off with a hand towel. It's like trying to sleep on a short bench, right? That's how Isaiah talks to these folks in Isaiah 28. There's this super awesome verse we're going to get to at the end of the sermon. I'm going to save for that. But he also talks about God doing stuff in an alien or strange way. This idea that like God's solutions are going to seem weird, and they're going to be stuff that you never even came up with, right? Somebody was talking downstairs about how they used to see the world as this dog-eat-dog-eat world, right? They didn't even feel bad when they would take advantage of other people because they just thought, like, that's the way the world works. But when they started to make some real spiritual progress, they started to make amends and go apologize. And they need to describe, like, this huge weight coming off of his heart when he would say, like, I don't have to worry about that I did all that wrong stuff. Now, if you've done some 12 steps, and like maybe you've experienced that, right? But if you've never paid attention to any wisdom, that doesn't really make sense on the front end. Like, me apologizing to people is going to make my heart less heavy. Like, there's a lot of people that get hard hearts. They're like, that seems foreign or more alien than, like, E.T., right? You know, like, E.T. still has fingers and eyes and stuff, right? Like, some of this is like, that doesn't look like anything I've ever seen myself before, right? That's God's ways. Okay, so that's the whole setup, and it's pretty rough. Sometimes we just expect Jesus to be like a Hallmark card or something. It's going to be all soft. He's going to be like our grandma in the sky or something, right? And it's just going to all be like, I love you no matter what you do or something. Which, like, Jesus does love us no matter what we do. God does love us no matter what we do. But we're going to have a rough life if we ignore him, right? And Isaiah 28 gets into some of that roughness, right? But then the end of it, it gets into something that's pretty hopeful. But I think this is what we need to hear today, too. I think it's got some wisdom for us. So we're going to go to one more slide before we start reading in verse 24. It's going to be a farming analogy for us, right? So this next slide is a plow, kind of. I mean, this guy's wearing blue jeans. This is not ancient Israel. But closest I could get with a fair trade or with like an open source image, right, is some of us are living our lives like this guy. We're getting started. We're plowing up the dirt, right? We're getting involved. We're trying to solve things. We're working at stuff. But imagine if this guy plowed his field 2 weeks ago, and then he plows his field again last week, and then he plows his field again this week, and he plows it every week for 52 weeks. Guess what he's got? A bunch of mud, dirt, maybe no dirt, maybe just rock at this point, like it's all washed away. He doesn't have any growth. He's worked really hard, but there's no blessing there, right? He's just started over, and he started over, and he started over, and he started over, and he started over. And at some point, you would think before 52 tries, he would have quit or stopped doing the same stuff he's always been doing, right? The passage we're going to read is talking about the wisdom of farmers to a bunch of elites that think that they know better and who aren't farming, right? And he's saying these guys that are farmers, they've learned some stuff from God. And even though most of us aren't farmers, I think we can catch up with what he's saying. Okay, so we're going to start in verse 24 of Isaiah 28. He says, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep breaking up and working the soil? Verse 25. When he's leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway or scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? These are different things that you could plant, right? After you plow, you plant something, right? It's the next step. Verse 26. His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. This idea that, like, when you're out in nature, God's given us this amazing world, and people have paid attention to what God created. And there's a lot of wisdom just in doing stuff the way that God set stuff up, right? God didn't set it up to just plow, 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 right? There's a time to plant something and let it grow, okay? He's going to almost repeat the same sort of idea again. Verse 27. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten with a rod and cumin with a stick. In case you're not like a Middle Eastern farmer from thousands of years ago, what he's talking about there is when you do pull in a crop, sometimes you got to get rid of like the casing or the shells on it or whatever. You got to prepare it. But there's some seeds out there that you can't be very rough on or you're going to destroy what's there. Okay, we're going to keep reading verse 28. Grain must be ground to make bread. Maybe you guys have seen like a mill or something, a stone going over grain, right, to make flour. So one does not go on threshing it forever. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. Verse 29. All this also comes from the Lord, whose plan is what? Wonderful, and whose wisdom is what? Magnificent. So earlier it said God's ways are alien, right? They're like not what we would have expected. But here's the idea that there's a time to be really rough on kernels of wheat, right? You might smash them into flour, but you don't just keep smashing them forever. Maybe you've been going through life and you feel like life has just been grinding and grinding and grinding you. Like God's plan for your life is not for it to just be that one season forever. But maybe you've just been approaching stuff like it's all the same. We've all heard the quote, I don't know who it's from, but like to a hammer, it's easy for everything to look like a nail, right? Like some of us approach our family and we approach our work and we approach this decade of our lives the same way we approach stuff when we were in high school, right? It's like if you're approaching everything the same, you're probably not getting great results. If you're not paying attention to like, what's this thing right in front of me? What's this season about in my life? How does God want me to handle this fruit or crop based off of what's going on, right? This idea that farmers, in a physical sense, they pay attention to all this stuff that God has set up. And they submit their work and their effort to the system that he's set up. And so because of that, like there's hard work to be done, but it's also like there's a real harvest. In a spiritual sense, the people Isaiah was talking to weren't paying attention to God's setup. So whether they're putting in effort or not, they're not going to get good results. Some of us in the room, like we haven't had good results because we haven't put in any effort, right? And that's not who this passage is to, but this passage is to folks who are putting in effort, but they're not doing it God's way. Because they're not doing it God's way, they're not going to have the harvest. They're not going to have the blessing that's possible. Now, I'm not much of a farmer. I'm not a farmer at all. I'm a gardener. I'm going to teach you a little bit about gardening, and then we're going to try to reflect on it a little bit. Okay, so we had some thunderstorms this last week. I don't know, guys, has anybody ever had this experience of, like, after a thunderstorm, you look at your grass, or for me, my weeds, and it's like, what's different after a bunch of lightning? Anybody know? Real loud. Louder. I heard static, but somebody said it over here. Christy, I think. Okay, well, somebody else besides Christy, she's like got the answer probably already, right? Nobody knows? Nobody, after a thunderstorm, you look at your grass, it's like vibrant green. Has no one ever noticed that? Okay, you guys have, like, stick with me, guys, right? Okay. I'm not going to nerd out on you too much. It's going to be real quick lesson about nitrogen, okay? Like, okay, some of you are like, I'm already gone. I'm out. If you've ever paid attention to fertilizer, it's okay if you haven't. One of the main ingredients in fertilizer is nitrogen. That's typically the bottleneck for plants. Like they need more nitrogen that they can use. Also, okay if you don't know this, a lot of our atmosphere is made up of nitrogen in like a gas form. But it's not, plants can't do anything with it. Crazily enough, when there's a lightning bolt, it changes some of that nitrogen that plants can't use, and it makes it available to plants. So there's this like boom, instant super available fertilizer that's used up super fast. So your grass isn't going to really grow a lot, but it's going to look amazing for a minute because it's got like a ton of what it needs. Okay, so that's, you're like, okay, Jake, like, where are we going with this? Okay, some of you could probably make some connections though here, right? There's a bunch of stuff that's good, but it doesn't result in any good in your life, right? That grass, and even the person like trying to help your grass, like they can't make lightning bolts, right? God makes lightning bolts, right? Like we all knew that. You didn't need me to explain that, right? Like God makes lightning bolts. There's stuff going on in your family. There's stuff going on in your work. That like God has just this insane amount of power, and it could fertilize whatever's good that's going on. Okay, that's thought one. Let's go a touch further. I've got some strawberry plants in my garden. I've got a picture here from some years ago. There's my little dirty hand and some strawberries growing. Here's something I learned from gardening is you always got weeds. I always have weeds, at least in my garden. And trying to put stuff down to keep the weeds out. If you take your grass clippings, put them in your garden, it'll keep some weeds out. Something else I've noticed, though, is that green grass has like a lot of nitrogen and other stuff that plants need. And so your garden will grow better if you put a bunch of grass clippings in it, just because all that goodness will like pour out of those grass clippings, right? People don't talk about it a lot because nobody makes any money off of that. So I feel like there's no motivation but for people to talk about it. But here's something else, the way God sets stuff up. I just bought some tomato plants at Lowe's. And if I put those tomato plants in this afternoon and then put a bunch of grass clippings around them, it'll fry the roots of those new fragile plants. Like nitrogen real early when they're brand new, it'll like burn them up is how real gardeners, unlike me, like they talk about like you're burning the roots. I don't know why they use that language, but it'll kill the plants, right? And why am I talking about all this and nitrogen? You're like, we're on this way too long, Jake. Even stuff that's good at the right moment, like those strawberry plants are coming back every year. Like I got grass clippings in there right now for them, right? Like their roots are ready for it. They're ready for that nitrogen, so it's good for them. But that exact same thing that's good for them is going to be wrong for something else that's just getting started. If you're coming home to your kids and they're 15 and you're doing stuff that was working with them when they were 5, like you're probably doing it wrong, right? Like, and we can understand that. But some of us are treating our spouse either the same way or worse than we were treating them 5 years ago. We're not paying any attention to what's actually happening. We're not paying any attention to, like, is this the right thing at the right time? And you're like, okay, Jake, but come on. Like, this gardening stuff's not really helping. Well, here's the deal. Where did I learn that grass clipping thing from? My dad had a garden the whole time I was growing up. That's what he did. And my grandpa had a hard garden the whole time growing up. So when I started putting grass clippings in my garden, I don't think I could have told you about, like, nitrogen and burning up the roots. I just knew, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to copy my dad. I don't know what your dad's like. My dad was not perfect. You know, we don't have perfect earthly dads. You don't have to understand how to fix your marriage. You don't have to understand how to be the right worker at work. You don't have to understand how to help your neighborhood. If you will pay attention to God, try to learn his ways. Try to do things in the season that he's put you in right now. Don't be worried about next week. Lord really taught us well last week, right? About not trying to control the future, but about doing things in the present with Jesus. Now, some of you might be like, well, with Jesus, like this is Isaiah, and this is talking about farming. Where's Jesus in this passage? I'm going to read you what I think is the most important verse in this passage. I didn't put it up earlier, but it's verse 16. If you got it in front of you, you can look up the page. It says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion. It's like Jerusalem, the capital city, but also the city of God. It says a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Now, why do I bring this up? So there's a guy named Peter, great friends with Jesus. We'll look at it more closely next week, but Peter looks at this verse, and we can trust Peter on this. Like, Peter looks at the verse and says, this is about Jesus. In case you're not like a mason, you're like, cornerstone, what's that about? When I was living in Mexico, people build a lot out of cinder blocks. They would pay a lot of attention to that first cinder block, right? And then they'd tie a string off of that first cinder block, right? They would build the whole wall in line with that first block they put down. And so I watched some guys that were really good with concrete and with building with block. They spent a lot of time on that first block, and then the rest of it went up real quick. That first block mattered a lot because everything needed to be in line with it. And when they're building, they would be referencing back, either with a string or looking back to that first block. If you will build your life off of, here's my next step. I'm not doing the same thing I did yesterday. Today's a new day. This day will never come again, right? Like, today's a fresh day. But if you will look to Jesus and say, can I line up this day with Jesus, then you're going to set that day right. The best thing you can do for tomorrow is set that block today right. You set it right by comparing to Jesus what you're about to do. The way you're going to listen to the person you talk to after you leave church, are you going to listen to them like Jesus would listen to them? Are you going to pay attention to them, right? Are you going to look, read your Bible each day, see what Jesus is like, right? But then look at yourself and look at Jesus. Am I acting like Jesus today? tomorrow, if I've been in line today, it'll be easier to be in line tomorrow, right? I don't have to rip up yesterday's work, right? But if you got to rip up yesterday's work because it's wrong, like, okay, right? Like, I had to go apologize to Chrissy yesterday, right? Like, it's good, you know, just when you, that's Chrissy, my wife, if you don't know that. But, like, it's good to do today right, okay? And you do it right by looking at Jesus. So we opened with all this stuff about trying to solve things on our own and it not working for us. If you don't have the rest that you need, that's another thing that Isaiah 28 talks about, is these people haven't rested. Like, I wanted to give them rest, but they haven't received it. If you haven't been getting the rest that you need, are you putting your effort and your trust into someone besides God? Because what's precious to us, like, that's where we put our time and that's where we put our effort. If Jesus is precious to you, then your time and your effort are going to reflect that. Last thought on, as we wrap stuff up, this was on my around my birthday this year. Chrissy surprised me with, I think my favorite musician is this guy, Joel Anset. I'm pretty positive, unless you've talked to me about him, you've never heard of this guy. Nobody's ever heard of Joel Anset, right? He was doing a super tiny little show in Independence. He was not even the headliner for this super tiny show in Independence. But he happened to be in town, and it was right around my birthday. And so Chrissy surprised me. He was like, let's go. And we went to this show. So here's a nice thing about being a super fan of somebody that nobody else likes, is when you go to the show, I had not one, but like multiple conversations with this guy, because like nobody else even knows who he is, right? So like, we talk about his music, this big conversation, right? To me, like, Joel Anset is like precious. I wouldn't normally use those words, but to like borrow from Isaiah,